We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Make of it what you will. Everyone can have their own opinion of where he then went, because Joel last night did something, and maybe he's done it before, but to the best of my knowledge, he had not previously gone here with what we're about to play. Joel last night, through all his despondency, through not taking full ownership, because clearly the game did not come down just to blown calls. I mean, no one else helped Joel and Maxey. You know, Nick Nurse could have called timeout. Lowry could have called timeout. There's a million, you know, Tobias Harris could have played with some heart. Kelly Oubre could have made a shot. Buddy Hield could have done, you know, anything. There's a million things that could have gone different. Sixers could have done a better job in the regular season, so they actually had home court advantage. Campaign could have played. Nick Nurse could have chosen him. There's a million things they could have done. But with all that said, and I did not like the body language of Joel postgame. He said something last night postgame I don't ever, ever remember hearing him say. Here's Joel after the game last night about the rest of the series.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
So, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
Okay. He says they're going to win. We'll see.
Wow.
Look, Namath went there and was right. Messier went there and was right. Patrick Ewing, by the way, I'm giving you three New York people. Patrick Ewing famously in the 1990s said that many years and they would lose. So it's just words until you back it up.
It is in his hands. It is on his shoulders. If he's saying that he's going to step up and be able to carry the load.
Yeah, I mean, he said it.
He's suggesting that he can take this team and hoist it up there and win this series.
That's what he's suggesting.
I believe you, man. Let's do this.
This is the first time, to my knowledge, in the midst of a playoff series after a loss, and maybe I'm missing one, but I don't ever remember hearing Joel ever before go here.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
Okay. He said it, and he said it twice. Two times in there he said, we're going to win this series. I will tell you this, and by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from a hot Tasty Cake studio, and I don't mean the temperature. I mean, like, hot under the collar with that loss last night. Disappointment, sadness, aggravation, frustration, bewilderment, and any and all of the above. I will tell you this. There are only two realities of how the Sixers can win the series. This is the stark facts when you're down 2-0, having lost the first two on the road. One of two things has to happen. They're both difficult to do, achievable but difficult. The Sixers either need to win four straight games. Trailblazers did it in 77 against the Sixers.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I know. It's possible. It's hard to do. Jordan did it to the Knicks in 93. You lose two, you win four straight. Okay. They either have to win four straight games, or the Sixers have to win three of the next four and then win game seven in the Garden. And that's what the Diamondbacks did, by the way. That's what the Diamondbacks did to the Phillies. The Diamondbacks are down in a 2-0 hole. And the Diamondbacks came back by winning 3 and 4 in Arizona. Now, that was a different sequence because Game 5 was in Arizona, where this Game 5 will be in New York. But, you know, the Diamondbacks obviously lost Game 5 and then won 6 and 7 here in Philly, including a Game 7 on the road. Tough to do. I will tell you, of those two scenarios, I think the more likely, if the Sixers pull it off, is they win a Game 7 in the Garden. But, you know, those are your only two options. Win 4 in a row or win 4 of 5 with a Game 7 in the Garden. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Chuck in Mount Airy right now and get a ton of reaction to everything. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, yeah, good morning. Listen, I'm not blaming no referees, okay? I need Joel to hold his head up high, okay? Because here's the thing. There's a lot of basketball left in this series. And that loss last night lacerated me. It did. Yeah. It cut me deep. It was one of the worst losses in Philadelphia history.
That's right.
A lot of Sixers. And the Sixers The organization has a lot of them. But I'm going to say this much, okay? Listen, I need you to be a man, Joel, and hold your head up, all right? Because here's the thing. 0-2 in the hole against a team that we know we better than. We should have won two of these games. Not one, but two of these games, okay? We should be up 2-0. Here's the thing. We come back home. The series don't start until road team win in the series.
Yeah, I've never bought into that.
I hate that saying.
It's actually not accurate.
Especially when you're the road team saying it, because then you're just saying, oh, we'll lose all the road games and it's over.
It's just not accurate.
I'm saying something to give us some type of hope, all right? We down 0-2 in the hole. And here's the thing, right? You know, Buddy Hill's a turkey, okay? And I'm telling you right now, I don't need to see no more Buddy Hill, okay? And reason why right now I'm not crying my eyes out about this game, because like I said, we have a lot more series left. And yesterday, to me, if we inbound a ball, you know what I mean, and rebound a ball, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if I see another ball tip off of Joel Embiid's hands, command the rebound. You might not have no lift, but you can at least put a body on somebody, man. You know what I mean? And just grab a rebound. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the littlest things, man. Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of basketball left still in the series.
There is a lot left. But Chuck, great call. But I will tell you this. I'm going to give you two reasons why I hate that the series doesn't start until the road team loses a game at home or whatever it's called.
The road team wins a game.
Okay.
Number one, because in 2014, the Flyers played the Rangers. I think it was 2014. And the home team won every game. So did that series not start? I mean, the Rangers.
That's my problem with it.
One argument. I'll give my other argument against it. The other argument against it is the whole concept of, look what happened when the Sixers played the Celtics in 2018. 2018. Sixers lost the first two games in Boston. Then the Sixers lost game three at home, which was when they had that ridiculous Al Horford play on the inbounds pass and that whole thing.
So good at inbounds passing.
Yeah, I know.
They should practice it occasionally.
So, if you're going to lose, then at that point, you're saying the series just started. Well, the series is also about to end.
Yeah.
It just started. Oh, it's about to end. We're down 3-0.
I didn't remember that we went down 3-0.
Yes. So game two is the game Ben Simmons scored 1 point. And then game three was the one where they shot the confetti off because they thought they won.
Yeah.
The foot on the line.
Right? I was
at that game too,
yeah,
James.
And I knew it was left. Even at the game, I was like, I turned to my buddy. I'm like, I think his foot was on the line. Yeah. You could tell. Yeah.
But you know what? Yeah. Brad Stevens carved out a play out of a timeout on an inbounds, and they got a basket. I think that was in overtime here. And, then the series was over. I think the Sixers won game four, but it didn't matter. They lost in five. One more piece of audio to get to, and that's Charles Barkley. So, it's funny. If someone says today, Joel shouldn't hang his head, there's two different ways to interpret that. There's he played hard as hell, and he should be proud of his efforts through great adversity where he's obviously laboring with the injury. And he gave the Sixers a lot last night. I mean, Joel and Maxey gave the Sixers a lot. So there's the, prop Joel up, props to him. Hey, big guy, don't hold your head low. You played in a way that to a large extent made us proud. The flip side, though, is what he did post-game, where at his locker, he literally, and I mean this, literally held his head low. He did his media scrum with his head down the whole time, largely covered. And so there could be the, hey, pick your head up. Hey, pick your head up and show better body language. That's what Charles Barkley was saying last night post-game on TNT.
What I'd like to see from Joel, he got to get his head up because he's the leader of the team. He's the best player. He's one of the best players in the world. If your best player got his head down like that, he can say it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. We just got to come out and win game three. We got to take it one game at a time. As the leader of the team, he cannot have his head down. He's got to say, guys, we're fine. They did what they're supposed to do. We got to go home and win game three and four.
To his credit, he did give you some. We're fine. I mean, he did. So let's just, put it context out there. Maybe Charles hadn't heard that part when Joel said, we're going to win. We're fine. We're going to win. Yeah. But Charles probably saw the part where he had the head low, with great frequency there.
It is strange. Why is he shielding his eyes this way? It was after game one, the sunglasses. In the locker room.
I think he's just disappointed. It could be the eyes. I tend to think he's just disappointed. If he's able to deal with MSG for 2.5 hours without sunglasses, I'm going to guess that he's more in his feelings, aggravated, frustrated with the refs, despondent, head droopy. I would guess it's more of that. Could it be the eyes? Yeah, maybe it's the eyes. Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning.
Hammer, how the hell are you doing today, son?
I mean, not good.
You know, I didn't watch the entire game. I was flicking around with the Phillies back and forth. But I did watch the last 10 minutes because that's when an NBA game is really won or lost. And the thing that got me the most was Joel's body language and his facial expressions, especially when on the bench.
Dennis, to be fair, let me just say this. This is going to be a very – people are going to be split on this one. Just so you know, having missed the bulk of the rest of the action – he played really hard, really great for a long time. He obviously wore down. He is not fully back from the injury, conditioned, whatever you want to call it. So just know you saw a snippet, but you missed the part where he played damn hard.
Oh, no, I saw periods of each quarter. I just didn't watch it constantly. But, you know, it's 48 minutes for a basketball game,
that's
right?
That's right.
You know, the last 10 minutes are the most important. You know, I've played the game. You play basketball.
Well, let me ask you a question. I just want to ask this question as a point of comparison.
Yeah.
When Jordan in the flu game in game 5 goes to the bench and slumps over like he's dead, is that inappropriate body language by Jordan? Because he did do that. Like, he'd get to the bench. I mean, we all remember this. Towel in his head. You know, Scotty's, like, helping him walk there. So, you know, now does Jordan – it's okay with Jordan because in the end he wins?
I also saw Willis Reed limp out on the court, you know, and carry that team.
Yeah, not carry that team. Willis Reed scored 4 points in that game. Willis Reed gave them an emotional edge. But he scored 4 points. Joel Embiid scored over 30 points last night.
Yeah, but not when they counted.
Well, again, I mean, I know we can go round and round on that one. Honestly, I don't even know where I stand. I'm kind of split. I mean, on one hand, I admire most of what Joel did. On the other hand, maybe it's just bad luck. On the other hand, maybe there's more that he should be able to have in his tank.
How many hands do you have?
I got three. I got three hands. 215-592-9494. All of this and more, all the calls and all the topics, an all-time brutal loss. I don't think it's over, but it is a really brutal loss. And we'll continue to react to it on 94 WIP.
Spring is here, and my to-do list at my home actually getting very long, but instead of getting stressed out, I'm going to get help by calling the cooling and plumbing experts at Horizon Services for all of the repairs and upgrades my home needs, solving cooling system breakdowns, leaky pipes, clogged drains, even water heater disasters. That's because they get the job done and get it done right the first time. Right now, Horizon will help you get all of those home projects checked off by offering spring savings of $50 off any repair up to...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, on a tough, and I mean brutally tough, Tuesday morning. Hello. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. Nice job by the Phils and Ranger. They've won 7 in a row, and he's really dealing in this month.
Who knew that being around for spring training would have this big an impact on Ranger? We were told, hey, just wait and see. Yeah. He's got a lot more practice under his belt. He's going to be better.
Yep.
We didn't know it would be this marked a difference.
Yeah, he really has a legitimate shot to obviously be an all-star. And obviously, you know, through a month, he's in the Cy Young race. Now, we'll see if that lasts for 6 months, but he's in it for now. Eagles have a draft in 2 days. We'll get back into that tomorrow. Obviously, incredibly heavy today on the Sixers, everything that went down, including the fact that they're going to file a complaint. I don't know if they formally do that last night or this morning. Look, the one tangible impact that could have, believe it or not, is moving forward. You know, you'd hope to get some calls in games 3 and 4, and I think it will have an impact in that regard.
Remember when Larry Brown did it in the year that they went to the finals? I think they were playing, was it the Bucks series? Who's the guy?
The Bucks. Game 7. Scott Williams. Scott Williams got suspended for game 7 because he gave AI a vicious forearm in game 6.
But Larry had championed for calls during this because, George Carl, that's who it was. he had whined and gotten calls.
He whined.
So then Larry came back and got, so they know it works.
That's right. No, that's yeah. right. The problem is, you know, getting four extra calls or whatever in game three is probably not going to, you know, make up for the disaster of game two. So look, 2-0 hole, it's a tough spot. I don't think it's over, but the Sixers are in a hell of a hole. There's no doubt. All right, your reaction to all of it last night, Joe in Mayfair. Hi, Joe.
Well, good morning, and this is just it's typical. It's really typical under the UMB error, the process error, mm-hmm. that you don't have more the mentality to go after it when someone's coming after you. You have to want it more. And there's a lot of blame to go around last night, and the officials are way down on my list. Mm-hmm. You can't have a game plan where your top two players touch the ball over 60% of the time and hog them, dominate the ball, where you don't set up plays for other teammates the entire game. I've had enough of it.
Boy, I disagree, Joe. If I could trust them, I'd pass it to them. I mean, there's a reason Larry Brown told Allen Iverson, basically, don't pass the ball to Matt Harprin, because he wasn't going to do anything with it. I mean, Joel and Maxey did a lot of great stuff last night, and when the other guys got opportunities, and yes, they don't get tons of opportunities, but they get them. I mean, Tobias Harris played 41 minutes. He had plenty of opportunities to do stuff. He's just not good enough.
He touched the ball three times in the second half. If you watch play-by-play, it's the Maxey and Embiid show. Lowry occasionally touches the ball the third most, but the other guys don't get the ball. There's no play set up for anybody on the court. It's all one-on-one crap, and it's enough. And if you don't have players on your offensive side of the ball into the game mentally, you're not into the game defensively either.
Look, Joe, it's horrible.
There's a second point.
They were pretty into that game mentally, man. If you take the last 30 seconds away, it felt like they did a pretty good job of putting things together. And it wasn't perfect, but they did a better job than they did in game one of things together and looking like the better team.
All right, Joe, what's point two?
Point two of, tragically, that it's the Doc Rivers, now it's Nick Nurse. He cupped his hands last night making the timeout. He pulled it away. Yep. I watched it every single time. He never definitively said, I want a timeout. And you take ownership of it, and you have your smallest player on the court besides Maxey. Kyle Lowry is not an inbounder. Nick Batum is your best inbounder under a basket. How do you have a six-foot guard under a basket inbounding the ball is a huge mistake. You call timeout immediately. You input Batum into the game at half court. He is your best inbounder, and you don't lose that game. So instead of blaming everybody else, this and that, if you make a couple of a foul shot, Lowry, and B doesn't miss four foul shots in the third quarter, he missed two straight. You're not in that situation to cry and whine about, I thought I called a timeout. Well, I didn't call a timeout. I did.
I forgot about those two missed foul shots by Joel.
They're huge, and he doesn't normally do that.
Yeah, very uncharacteristic.
Joe, tremendous call. I don't agree with every point in there, but you got a lot of good points, and it's why sort of all of the above is part of the answer to why they lost. I mean, but I will say this, like, let's dial more up for Buddy Hield and Kelly Oubre. I can't go there this morning. Look, I get the theory. It's what Phil Jackson did with Jordan. For those that don't know the history, I mean, Phil Jackson's basic point when he got to Chicago with Jordan was you got to get your teammates more involved because you can't just do it for 48 minutes yourself or like 42 minutes yourself. You got to get them involved. They'll have ownership of it. It'll lessen the burden on you. You'll be fresher down the stretch because, you know, Bill Cartwright, you go back and watch Bulls games, Bill Cartwright took the first shot almost every game. I mean, literally, almost every game, Bill Cartwright would take the first shot. Jordan's trying to get him involved. All
right,
It was an ugly shot. I get the theory, but here's the problem with that. When Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield and Tobias Harris get a chance, and they did get some, and they have now two games in a row, they got to do something with it.
And the problem with Oubre is actually playing decent defense.
He is playing very good defense.
He really is.
Yes.
Just a little something on the offensive end. Please.
Correct. And Buddy Hield, who can't play any defense, is giving them nothing on offense. I mean, nothing. He's giving them nothing. Let's go to James. They don't have like a Rajah Bell they can pull off the bench.
No, sadly.
You remember that?
Yeah, of course Rajah I remember Bell. That.
For those that don't know, Rajah Bell got in a game one of the NBA Finals, and by the way, game seven of the series versus the Bucks in 01. After, I think he played 5 regular season games.
Played like nothing.
Yeah, like who
we
is this guy?
We barely even knew exactly.
Yeah, who is this
did
guy?
Did he have like 15 points or
he
something?
He played so well in overtime of game one of the NBA Finals.
Just sticking.
And then he made that spinning shot in the lane where he kept his pivot, made that shot. Sixers won game one. Like, listen, they might have to tap into Council?
Ricky Council, yes. Give him some time.
I think Council's got the goods.
He pushes it, man.
Really, James, I'm with you. James, I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but that size still plays. Like, yeah, sure. I would give Ricky Council a shot, too. That's where we're
James,
at.
James, I would give you a shot at this point.
Let me ask you guys a question. Who do you trust the least of all the regulars? Is it Buddy Hield?
Yeah, it's Buddy Hield.
Yeah,
as much
question.
As I dislike Toby as a player, as a person, he's a great person.
Yeah.
I think Buddy Hield is actually unplayable.
Looked scared.
He looks scared.
He has looked scared.
Yeah.
He has.
Unabashedly so. At least Tobias tries to buck up and be tough guy Tobias.
Right. No, I agree. All right, let's go to Justin. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, friends. How are y'all?
Not great. Same answer to everyone else we gave. Go ahead.
Well, listen, I think the I feel like at this point, when people ask how you guys are doing, it's just a rhetorical
question. It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead, man.
But I think the biggest problem, and you guys know, I'm not a massive Sixers fan, but I watched the whole game last night, and it was the heart and the effort for me. I mean, you guys threw it out as an option E for the Twitter poll, and I think, especially between that and the rebounds, I can't tell you how many times I was screaming, just get a freaking rebound. Like, those were the biggest things, I think, of why the Knicks were able to come back. I mean, after the Sixers were up, you know, they were hitting some shots. They were getting, you know, getting good looks, getting some good stops on defense, but then they weren't able to get a rebound. And I think, you know, anytime you watch a team that just gets out-physical, then that doesn't fight for the ball, that's what it comes down to for me. I don't think, you know, how many times in other sports do we say, don't let the game come down to the refs? Okay, cool. Don't let the game come down to the refs. Get a rebound.
I don't care what you say, Justin. Rebounds are toughness and hustle, and it really is. If every guy made it a point to put his butt on someone every time a shot went up, I guarantee it looks different.
And
Josh Hart. We saw it firsthand last night.
And Justin Batum, who's one of my favorite Sixer, and I've loved this guy for 10 years. I've been watching him. I love guys like him. He's savvy, okay? But he had a very unsavvy moment. When that ball went up that was the missed three with, you know, 8 seconds left or whatever it was, he just stood there. Just stood there.
Put
and
your back on
Hartenstein
someone.
Ran from probably near the three-point line or so. He ran in to crash.
He was and way out there. Yeah. He was three-point land.
I mean,
aggravating.
I think you could take your pick of player on that play that didn't bust out.
He's the main one. Because here's what happened. Appreciate the call, Justin. Joel and Tobias were in the inner scrum. Okay, now I'm not saying they couldn't have done more. Obviously, Joel had limited lift at that point in the game. That was clear. Tobias is Tobias. He's not the right kind of dog, right? And he doesn't have tremendous lift. I mean, he just doesn't, okay, just fundamentally. But the guy that was the biggest culprit in that rebound sequence, or lack thereof, was Batum. He was the biggest culprit. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin, available 2.9% financing for up to 72 months on all new light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, let's all go on the record with these two Twitter poll questions. Man, not easy, in my opinion, to answer them because they're all worthy choices. But let's go on the record here. The biggest reason why the Sixers lost game two. Now, John, we've got four choices. Which would you go with of these four? Embiid wore down. No third player stepped up, meaning, you know, to help Embiid and Maxey. Mm-hmm. The refs screwed the Sixers. Sixers lost composure. And maybe we should have had another choice in there of the Knicks have more heart. Maybe.
I don't feel great about any of them, but I think
I actually feel good about all of them. They went through them like, yep.
Well, you're right. I mean,
which would you vote for?
Say everyone.
If you had to pick one, which would you pick?
No third player, I guess, is the biggest one for me.
James, which would you pick?
So I thought before you read the answers that Sixers lost composure was going to be my answer, but as you read them, I'm actually with Richie. I think the no third player is the biggest reason they lost the game.
It's funny you say that because I am there too. I agree with that. it was just too long of two guys. I mean, you got to have more than two guys play. Rhea, which one would you go with?
Sixers lose composure. What they did with that inbounds. I mean, but it's something that's been repeated.
Yes, it has.
Like this season, last season. I mean, that guy made an interesting point about Batum instead of Kyle under the basket. I hadn't thought about that, but it was chaos. That should not have happened.
That's right. It was total chaos. It was. I don't agree. Look, I get the point that Batum's taller, and so under the basket, there's something
that
there.
That was just interesting to consider.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. Yeah. I agree with you, but I will say Lowry's the one that snatched the ball. He's trying to get out. He's trying to get it out quickly to Maxey, and you know,
he's also your most trustworthy playoff guy, you know, right?
And he's a passer.
Yes, he's a piece of point guard.
He's a point guard. You know, I don't think he didn't get it in because he wasn't tall enough. But anyway, all right, let's get to the next Twitter poll question. Curious where everyone stands, and of course, everyone listening can weigh in at 215-592-9494 on both of these questions and more. All right, which emotion do you feel the most about the Sixers game 2 loss? James, let's start with you here. 4 choices. Which emotion are you feeling the most? Anger, bewilderment, disappointment, sadness.
It's not disappointment because, you know, I didn't expect them to win the series. So I'm not like disappointed in the way. I think probably sadness, honestly. Of all those, like I was angry last night, but at the same time, like I'm more like resigned to this team. Like I don't expect them to win anymore. Like I don't. Even with 1 minute left, I'm like, I didn't feel like it was a lock win just because I don't trust them. So okay. I'm just kind of sad about the Sixers.
All right, Rhea, anger, bewilderment, disappointment, sadness.
The anger is gone for me because they've sucked it out of me with the losses they've had. You mentioned the confetti game, the 26-point loss, blowing a 20-point lead. At home, the playoff.
You're
loss,
saying game 5 Atlanta, and then game 7 Atlanta.
So there's just been too many of them. You know, obviously the Kawhi
6
shot.
And 7 last year against the Celtics.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm disappointed because I mean they're literally sucking the life out of me.
Yep.
As each day goes by, so I don't have any of the bitterness anymore.
John, which one would you go with?
Man,
because I'm going bewilderment.
There's a lot of
It was so weird.
How'd it happen? Yeah,
it was surreal. I mean, I'm watching a game that's effectively over, and then my team lost.
Joe, I'm sitting better. I think I'm bewilderment, too.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my sunroom watching the game, and my kid just walks, you know, in the kitchen to get something to drink.
Yeah.
Score. I said, they're up by 5 with, 27 seconds. I said, they're going to win. I said, yeah, probably. And then, like, literally by the time he got done getting something to drink, he goes, they lost that game? And I was like, oh, my God.
I would say the last two games that I can think of, I think, where I would have said bewilderment, which, you know, it's a word we don't often say on WIP. The last two times I would have probably applied that would probably, now I got to go, I'm going a few spots here. 2010 with Patrick Kane, because it's like,
what happened?
Where's the puck?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so confused. Where's the puck? Wait, the puck is behind Michael Layton? Like, it's actually in the net?
Yep.
Like, we lost? Like, okay. So that game, and the other one would be the Alshon drop. Because it was like, to Rhea's point about circumstances in homes, full disclosure, and I've said this before on the air, I did not see the Alshon drop happen. I literally, if you remember, the Eagles got some yards, whatever they got, and I got up to go to the bathroom.
Well, because the two-minute warning was coming.
The two-minute warning was coming, and I thought the Eagles would and should.
We all thought they would wait till the two-minute warning.
Run it down to 2 minutes, because if you're going to score, you want to give Drew Brees the least amount of time to get the ball back. But the combination of Doug and Foles, they run a play. It was a good play. It was an effective pass. But Alshon dropped it, and I'm in the bathroom, and I hear everyone screaming that the Eagles just lost. I mean, anyway.
Man.
All right, John, which would you go with? Anger, bewilderment, disappointment, sadness?
These are all appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I might be – it might be sad. It might be sad. It is certainly disappointed. I'm really ticked, but I think more than anything, it's just like if we let this slip away, I will be very sad because I do think we're the better team.
I do too.
And so there is that tinge of like, man, you got to get your butts in gear because you're letting something happen that shouldn't.
So I mostly agree, but I will say the longer I watch this series and the more I see guys like Hart and DiVincenzo and Hartenstein and like 3 or 4 other guys. Maybe the Knicks are better. because maybe seven or eight guys is better than two guys.
That's why I picked them coming in. It was that and Embiid. The uncertainty about Embiid, and I just thought the Knicks were deeper and played better as a team.
Like, I mean, the lack of a third guy on the Sixers right now is a disaster. Look, I do trust Kyle Lowry, which is ironic because he had a horrible moment not calling the timeout. I think he's very trustworthy. I think Batum is trustworthy. But I can't trust Tobias. I can't trust Oubre. I mean, Paul Reed's always going to go in and out. He's going to try his hardest, but he's still kind of like a human pinball. He goes in there and just bounces around off guys, makes some shots, but generally gives you not good defense, not much rim protection. I mean, he's a young player trying to find his way, largely, you know, to a large extent overmatched. Let's go to Chuck in Cherry Hill. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. I'll tell you the cachet. How much does sports give us? Is it unbelievable? No, we don't weigh it. Try to weigh it, Joe. Sports gives us an immeasurable amount of stuff that's great. Win, lose, or draw. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I looked at the replay 100 times.
Yep.
Six quick takes. Okay. Refs ignore our coach in a situation where they got to be looking at our coach on the timeout. Yep. It's like they ignore him. Coach, you have to be a little more on fire there. He was tepid, not really get on the court a little bit. Scream more. He doesn't do any of that. Embiid almost lets Hartenstein, whatever his name is, walk in on that rebound. Look at the replay.
Yep.
There's a lane he walked.
It's really
right
Batum.
In.
Chuck, it's really Batum. I'm telling you, it's Batum's fault.
Okay, I hear you on that. I hear you. And that Lowry in trouble, you know you got to use the timeout.
Correct.
Embiid's shooting 17% from three. Stop shooting threes in the postseason where you're shooting 20% for 3 years. Embiid can't be shooting threes. And lastly, Embiid, if you're going to predict that we're going to win the whole thing, you got to believe in yourself and look at the camera and sell it, baby. You can't have your head down. That's it. That's my sixth take.
All right, Chuck, good call. I mean, a lot of good stuff in there. And by the way, it's not that Joel said, you know, going to win it all. But he did say after the game last night, we're going to win the series.
Did you have a problem in that cut with him saying what we were just talking about, with him saying we're the better team? Like, I think it's one thing to say, I believe we're going to win. It's another thing to take a shot at the team that's up 2-0 and that can hear that quote. Like, I don't know. If I'm a Knick player, I'm like, oh, really? You're the better team? Like, at a spot where the Sixers should be the ones totally motivated.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like that one sentence in the Embiid.
Well, it's also the kind of thing, and I don't know what the New York Post went with today, but it's the kind of thing I could see them leaning
into. Absolutely.
In, so,
oh, tomorrow they will.
Yeah. I don't care. I mean, I think we need to lean into it, too. You know, like, I'm glad that he put it out there. I'm glad that even if it was a mistake,
you got
to
back it up,
made,
though. You're going to do it.
Of course, because now there's something he has to back up. Before it was, can Joel get out there? Now he actually put something of consequence out there.
Yeah.
We're going to beat that team. Like, I'm glad. I'm glad it's out there. And I think it might have been more than anything out of frustration.
Well, it might have been, but he said it. It is what it is. Let me put one more thing out there now that we're just putting stuff out there. And let me be clear. I was very, like, should I say this or not say it? Because I don't want to get someone fired who's probably a 25 to 30-year-old kid. But I need this, and I love Maxi. This isn't about Maxi. I need whoever runs the Sixers social media account to know during that game last night, do not put out a tweet that has a photograph of Tyrese Maxey in last night's game and a photograph of Michael Jordan from Game 6 of the 1990.
Oh, my God.
Game 5.
They did it on the broadcast,
too. Game 5 of the 97 finals.
Dude, they did it on the broadcast, too. He hits the first threes. Allah's like, I remember another flu game. And it's like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
One guy's Michael Jordan, and the other guy's not.
And one guy's the NBA Finals.
Correct.
Like, I mean, this is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so with you, Joe. Like, stop it.
But let me just say this. I don't want whoever's the Sixers media social media guy to get fired. Again, he's probably a 25 or 30-year-old kid. I really, honestly, was very hesitant to bring it up. We kind of started drifting in.
I don't think anybody's going to fire him over
But here's what here's what I do need, and I guarantee you won't get. Josh Harris to have handle on his organization. The Sixers are a
good
poorly,
luck, pal.
No, I know.
Yeah,
they're
he's
a
busy.
Poorly run organization.
He's got a football team.
Listen,
to worry
guys,
about.
Say what you want about the Eagles and how every once in a while they're going to find themselves in a ditch, and every once in a while they are. 2012, 2015, 2020. All right, every once in a while, listen, you play enough seasons, you're going to find your way into a ditch sometimes. But the Eagles are a well-run organization, and you know, like the Sixers are a poorly run organization. Like, I need someone within the Sixers to you know, someone in a position of power and authority to get to the underlings. Is that still the term we use in society? Get to
sure.
the underlings and say, like, let's,
I don't know.
Let's,
I don't think you should use that.
Let's do it the right way. All right, let's go to John and Manion. Good morning, John.
What's up, dudes? You know, I wanted to be able to talk about how great Ranger Suarez is playing,
yeah.
but it's just not warranted now because the Sixers lost. So I just wanted to say this, too. Like, when you're up by 10, none of this matters. And I really hate when people talk about refs. But, dude, I got to be honest with you. Those final calls were so horrendous. And I would maybe let them go if that first half technical on Embiid, which was the softest technical I've ever seen,
yeah.
ever, watching basketball. If that didn't happen, that already made me – made my radar go up and be like, oh, these refs are after the Sixers now. So at the end of that game, when they pulled some of that crap, they're yanking Maxey's jersey. You can see his jersey being pulled back. Some of those calls were so bad, dude, that, like, I'm tired of hearing that in so many sporting events. For the last bunch of years, the refs are involved too much at the end of these games, dude. Like unless it's an egregious call, you should just lay off the whistles. I think the Bengals got hosed out of a Super Bowl on a ticky-tacky call.
Well, the Bengals did. No one talks about that one. The Bengals got totally hosed on that ball down to, like, the, what, 5 or 10?
Yeah.
Where they
the ball on the one.
Listen, that one, the frickin' Seattle Seahawks in 2005 against Pittsburgh was a disgrace. I still don't think
that's the all-time worst.
That one and the Sacramento Kings in 02 jobbed in Game 6 against the Lakers was, I mean, there's a couple all-timers. Listen.
And that shouldn't be the excuse because the Sixers could have won that game a couple different times. But I'll just tell you what, like, I just hate the thought of that affecting the games. And I just really wanted to talk about Ranger today because he looks really good.
I know he does.
I'm trying to keep my morale up here, but
25 straight scoreless innings.
John, let me ask you a question.
Hit me.
Can Ranger Suarez make an 18-foot jump shot?
Why
because,
not?
Because he's the best number three going right now in a pitching staff. I need him to be a number three scoring option.
I was going to say, can he be the Sixers' third player that we're looking
Correct.
For here? Yeah, maybe.
All right, John. Appreciate the call, man. What Nick Nurse said, and he said a lot after the game last night, what Nick Nurse said about the referees and his thoughts on that crazy sequence, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. 1 minute, Nick Nurse late last night. Hey, let me tell you about Family & Company Jewelers with the Viraggio Bridal Show. It is back for 3 days only and now coming up in just a couple days. April 25th, 26th, and 27th. By the way, April 26th, my birthday, so if you want to buy me a present, please feel free to do so. For 3 days only, April 25th, 26th, and 27th, view the brand new inventory and styles not yet available to the public. Save hundreds, possibly thousands, on the ring of her dreams. Head to Family & Company Jewelers, Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, April 25, 26, and 27 for the Viraggio Bridal Show. They know what you want. You want great jewelry. It might be, in this case, a ring. You want it, obviously, at a price that's beneficial to you. You want a helping hand along the way with great customer service and expertise to help you with the buying process. And, by the way, it helps to have something nearby. So even if you're in Philly, it's nearby. Right across the river, right across the bridge, South Jersey's, obviously, diamond destination. Book your appointment today at familyjewelers.com. All right, let's listen to what Nick Nurse said. Because, as a matter of fact, let's go back to the sequence of the very end of the game. Well, not the very end was the missed three-pointer by NB that should have been a missed shot by Maxey. He should have taken it. But let's go back to those crazy 30 seconds when all hell broke loose. Sixers had a 5-point lead. We'll play this. Then we'll play what Nick Nurse said. Here is, you know, those 20 or so seconds when the Sixers' world just fell apart.
Batum on Brunson, a lot of clock ticking here. Lowry got the pick. DiVincenzo comes out of the pack. DiVincenzo finds Brunson. Great defense here by the Sixers. Brunson gets a prayer of a bounce. 2-point game. Maxey hits the deck. Hart takes it from him. Shot clock is off. DiVincenzo, no. Hartenstein with an offensive rebound. Another chance here. DiVincenzo. He's got it. The Knicks have the lead again.
Just a brutal, and I mean brutal, sequence. I mean, really, the history of Philadelphia sports. This is, it's not 64 Phils. It's not Rondé Barber. It's not Joe Carter, but it's up there.
Worst round one loss in the history of Philadelphia sports?
You know what? 77 would be round one when the Phillies lost to the Dodgers. Game 3 and then losing game 4. You know, I think that's a bigger deal because that round one, you're in the semifinals.
You're getting to the World Series.
You're getting to the World Series, and you think you're about to get there with home field advantage and Carlton pitching game four. So probably that one would be above it. But this one's pretty damn big, really big. Let's listen to Nick Nurse after the game on that sequence and his opinion that he made it very clear that he had signaled for a timeout not once, but two different times.
The first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
They didn't say anything to you or an explanation?
There was no time to talk about it. Matt, you can ask him if you want to. See if he saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure. And I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice.
It's stunning. I mean, he is on the court. What he's talking about, like maybe I should have gone out onto the court a little farther. He was on the court, like fully on the court. His entire body passed the line.
Problem is he signals and then immediately pulls it back. It's weird. It's weird.
He does signal.
He
but
does.
It's almost
because remember this
because well, yep, the pullback.
Well,
right.
and here's the thing. Remember this. There's three refs out there. So I remember when hockey went from two to three refs, like I don't know, 20 years ago or something. So there's three refs. So think about what we want them in that moment. And again, I'm not trying to defend the refs here. I'm ticked at the refs, but they got to look for every person tugging on every jersey. The crowd's going wild. They can't hear the coach because there's no way you can hear one individual. Impossible to hear anybody. They have to look for, someone's got to be eyes on Kyle Lowry because he's got the ball. He's got to, like, not step over the line. You got to watch all these screens being set. And, oh, by the way, you got to glance over at the coach. So if he calls timeout, hopefully he calls it for more than one nanosecond and pulls it back. I think the pullback was the killer. He calls timeout but pulls it back immediately. Mm. And by the way, you have everybody standing up right behind Nick Nurse. Everybody is standing. So it's probably harder to find the coach when he's standing and everyone's standing instead of a normal NBA situation where the head coach is standing and everybody's seated. I mean, the Garden is going ape wild. They're going crazy. I was going to curse there and I stopped. They're going crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So one more piece of audio to play because it was still salvageable. Now, the shot was a long shot. But you got a chance to bring this ball down the floor and stick a three in order to try to tie it. And I didn't like that Maxi passed it to Embiid. I agree with John. It's a clear, pecking order situation. But it's like, come on, Tyrese. I need you to know that you are, one, the better three-point shooter, and two, the guy more likely to create room for yourself off the dribble with limited time left. I mean, he passed them the ball with, 1 second left. Let's listen to this sequence because they got to learn from this also.
Sixers down three. Maxi with two, with one. Embiid's going to have to put it up for the tie. Oh, he missed it, and that's the ball game.
I mean, look, it's not the main thing. It's far from the main thing. But, Maxi, that's your shot, man. Like, you're the better shooter. You're the better creator. You're 30 feet from the basket. Create and shoot. Let's go to Jared in Allentown. Hello, Jared.
How's it going, guys?
Not great.
So I'm a PIAA basketball varsity official. So, yes, there was...
All right, break it down for us, Jared. Talk to us.
Okay. So I do agree with you, Joe, 100%, that Nick Nurse should have been more aggressive on the timeout. He needed it. And Kyle Lowry definitely missed it. But... if you break it down, the ref was going to grant a timeout to Nick Nurse. He changed his motion, his mechanic, to give a timeout, but then pulls it back. And it's tough to see it in fast motion, but you can definitely tell he was going to give it to.
Do you think he pulled? Do you think he pulled back because the head coach pulled back?
I think it was just such a split decision, and obviously there are humans out there, and then Kyle Lowry just gave out. So,
well, I hear you. I mean,
I could not see that. So you're saying you can tell because you officiate. You can tell as a referee yourself that the referee was going to award him a timeout. He knew he was trying to take a timeout, but that for some reason did not give him a timeout?
Correct. So the guy that was underneath the basket, even if you break it frame by frame, he changes his mechanic where he's going to put his hand, right now he's just counting down his 5-second count, and then he changes his elbow to give the timeout signal, but he pulls it back just as Nick Nurse pulls it back. So
that's, well, again, that's
Nick Nurse's fault.
Well, that's, I agree with you, Jared. I mean, listen, that makes sense. It makes sense that the ref would see it, but then see the coach pull it back, and then maybe he's even saying to himself, did I actually initially see what I thought I saw? Because now he's not signaling for a timeout. So I mean, listen, Jared, it's a good call, and we appreciate the perspective. By the way, one person from very far away who's not happy with it because he's unhappy with his own loss last night, but he also saw the Sixers situation as LeBron James. Questionable call in that game. They lose on a last-second shot. I mean, it was a wild night in the NBA. Here's LeBron post-game in Denver talking about the Lakers-Nuggets, talking about the Sixers-Knicks, talking about the referee.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Nick game, too. What are we doing?
All right, that's LeBron last night. And then he was off. He was gone.
Mic drop.
Yeah, mic drop. He was done. He was disgusted.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.